When people talk about outsiders, they never want to talk about the outsiders that have come up with these ideas and then implemented them. And I did have a question for Bath and North East Somerset Council, which is, are they not part of a national organisation? And is it, when did it become, if you're in a trade union, do they say you can only do it in Bath, you're not allowed to be in the whole country? And when did it become the case, when people want to organise and talk about things and have a democratic discussion, that you had to be in one area? Or even if you're not in the area of the LTN and you're just outside, somehow you're an outsider. What we want to do is have a proper discussion and debate. We hope that, and we'll discuss this tonight, the councillors will come and join us for a civil debate and discussion. We won't be saying things about them that we don't think are true, and we certainly hope they don't do that about us, which, you know, already has happened a bit in the press. So I just want to start off this evening talking about some of the real concerns around low traffic neighbourhoods and other impositions that are made to families, residents, businesses. When did it become the case in Britain we had a conversation about having to negotiate our mobility? Or in Bath, when did it become the idea that somehow our movement, our free movement, had to be negotiated or had to be taxed? A bit like, as Josie Appleton said recently, in feudal times, when you leave one hamlet or another and you have to pay, you pay a toll to move around. And urban planning, which has a rich, important history about how we have transport and housing, beautiful parks and different areas that can be grand, all of that seems to be jettisoned now to something that's going to be about fining and taxing that, let's not forget, central government is funding. They're funding to the tune of over 100 million. They've been supporting this, and also local authorities, which are strapped for cash sometimes, are then making more money from. And rather than talking about our services and how they can be improved and a vision of Britain, almost like a festival of Britain, how we want to have dynamic wealth creation for everyone, really good housing, transport networks. Instead, there seems to be punitive measures, restrictive measures. They don't like the term lockdown, climate lockdown. They don't like that in Oxford. And yet, it has to be seen that, does it not, ladies and gentlemen, that many of the trends of the technocrats that know best, be quiet, we're doing this for your own good, seem to be carrying on. And I think that the message needs to go back to technocrats, some of which have only been voted in by a few hundred people, about what's in this room right now. I don't know if Paul can turn the camera and show everyone how many people in here. It's very inspiring. What we're always told is, you know, people don't care. You know, the whole idea is that the stupid people, the really smart people will make all the decisions, the ones that know. And all these people are something else, right? They haven't quite understood, or they're a bit ignorant. There's obviously much more nasty names. But actually, we, the public, citizens, local residents and businesses, are the lifebeat of the nation. And it's about time we think that people that are elected representatives understand that. There's been far too long we've had these technocratic impulses, not so much internationally coming from abroad, but actually homegrown in Britain. And we need to hold them accountable. They need to be able to answer questions, and we need to be able to engage properly together. So I'm just going to play a short video of a couple of clips of some of the damaging consequences in the words of other people. First, I'm going to start with a grandmother in Oxford who's talking about the concerns after Oxford allegedly had a trial of LTNs, low traffic neighbourhoods. Now they've got a trial of 15-minute cities with bus gates. Then they've got another trial coming up they're going to propose on February the 21st, where school teachers and nurses are going to be charged much more money to come into the city, it's already not livable, and actually park. All of these are trials, we're told. But yet each one is based on the other. And here in Bath, we've seen quite a lot of measures, as Caroline said, 15 LTNs already with a plan for 48, RPZs and 20-mile-an-hour zones. Smith, local residents and businesses who are having their livelihoods crushed after the damages of lockdowns. People are trying to do something in the cost of living crisis, and yet they're being treated very contemptuously. Over 65% of people said they did not want the LTNs in Haringey. We now have places like Islington Council and Hackney Council saying 70 to 75% LTNs. We've got a plan in Birmingham in the Midlands for seven zones and more of these things. And here in Bath, it's almost as though people want to have grids and zones, and yet they don't want to talk to you, ladies and gentlemen, about it seems, right? They don't want to have that discussion. Well, tonight we're going to have that discussion. You're going to hear from a lot of people here. I'm not going to say too much more now because I am going to come back to you at the end of these and talk a bit about the history of how we got here and what some of these ideas that have formed it, and then a little bit about what we can do about it. But just before I introduce the next very special guest, I just want to say that we like to be very open. So I'm just going to tell you all, like, the reason we formed together, which was based on the day that Boris Johnson announced there would be Freedom Day, but by the way, we're going to have all these kind of identity passports. What happened was lots of people thought that was unacceptable. Now, the point's always been that if the majority of people in Britain agree with something through a discussion and understanding, then they can address it. And my background has been in hospitality for 30 years. And we sort of, you know, and that was the thing that inspired me to get involved and work with lots of other people. And I think it's really important that when we start hearing kind of accusations and smears, or when we see, for instance, what's happened in Oxford on Cowley Road, where people have been threatened in their shops by people who are campaigners, very shrill, very small amount of them, but saying, you know, we're going to make sure you'll have a veto on your shop. People start getting scared and concerned, things are happening, that we all stand together, we have a bit of solidarity, and we say it's unacceptable. The decent people in our neighbourhoods, in our cities and towns, we need to talk about urban planning, we need to talk about what's going on, and we should all stand together. And that is the spirit of what we're about. And we can address any of these questions tonight, but I now want to, I'm very excited to, it's true, I'm very excited to introduce Sharon Davis. Sharon is someone who's got a lot of courage and has been an enormous advocate and a great British icon. And I'm not going to say anything else, just to say, come on up, Sharon, thank you very much.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. I hope you can hear out there. I kind of got roped in at the last minute because I, like so many people, I was on Twitter and I was seeing these things happening across the country. I saw a consultation that had happened in Oxford where 90% of the people that were consulted said, we don't want this, and they were totally and utterly ignored. That's not a democracy. That is not the country that we should be living in. You know, we voted these people in and they should be speaking for us, and right now they really are not speaking for us. So just before I go on any further, I absolutely hate things that are stealth. And what happens in the world that is sport, and that's been my soapbox, and I will go back to that soapbox, believe me, and leave this expert area to these guys as well. But this is my city. You know, I live in Bradford-on-Avon, but I shop here. I spend my money in your shops, and I come here and I buy my food, and I am a Bath person now. I've been here for 12 years. My son goes to school here. And I'm also a patron for disability sport. And this is going to affect those vulnerable people in our society that cannot now get into the city at all. And it's outrageous. You know, they haven't consulted the people that it's going to affect. This Ring of Steel, just the name of it is quite scary. And calling people names to try to shut them up so they can't bring their argument out into the open is outrageous and should not be allowed in a free speech society. Let's all just be heard and have a decent debate. And we can listen to everyone's point of view and we can try to be fair and sensible. And there are often compromises. You know, there are ways that we can make most people happy. You're never going to be able to make everybody happy. But that's the point of a democracy. We make the most people happy. It is going to be those people that are struggling with disabilities that are going to struggle. I've had a chat with Mark down here. I know he's a bit shy, he doesn't want to talk out loud, but he was breaking my heart outside and talking about how his life has changed drastically. He has a disability. He used to meet his wife and come in and have a cup of coffee. He now can't do that. And because even taxis aren't allowed to go down Midsom Street. All right, so his life has changed for the worst. That's not what councillors are supposed to do. They're supposed to make our lives better. They're not doing that. I mentioned Oxford. You know, why are consultations going on stealth? Why are we not hearing about these things? Why are they doing them right before Christmas when no one's paying attention? Why are they turning around and saying people that actually aren't saying yes or no go into the yes camp? When actually they haven't said yes or no, they've just said give us more information. But that information isn't forthcoming. Shops have gone through hell. I only parked around the corner in the circle. And I've literally walked, I don't know, 50 yards, 60 yards, around, four shops empty. If this goes on, there will be more shops empty in Bath. How is that good for Bath? How is that good for our community? How is that good for city centres? How is that good for people not being isolated? You know, we spend more and more time sitting in our offices, sitting in our houses, doing less things where we interact with other people, and it's really not good for our health. It's very bad for our physical health, but it's even worse for our mental health. So these are things that we need to talk about. Excuse me whilst I turn over, otherwise I'm going to get all emotional and you don't want any of that. The other thing is, haven't we had some fiascos already in Bath? You know, Dorchester Street. That was a really clever move, wasn't it? And they had to reverse on that. So let's talk about the things that's gone on in the past and that they haven't seemed to have learnt any lessons from. Councillors need to be made to listen. The only thing I will say just finally before I go is that if they don't listen, then you vote them out. And if they're only voted in by a few hundred people, we can make a difference. Please realise that you can make a difference. You can talk to your neighbours, your friends, you can talk to these school teachers that Alan's just been talking about. How the hell are they going to start finding more money to be able to just come in and do their job? I mean, that seems to me absolutely insane. My son, who plays for Bath Academy, at rugby, he broke his ankle, clever lad, in September. And so he was in a cast for 3 months in October, November and December. Now, I live in Bradford-on-Avon. He jumps on the train because I believe in using public transport as much as possible. I cycle. I love it. Right? I'm all for all these things. However, for that three-month period, he couldn't walk up the hill from the railway station in Bath all the way up to Beechingcliff, which is where he goes to school, so I had to drive him. If I had to pay the fines, it would be hundreds of pounds just to have been able to take my son to school for 3 months. That's insane. So please just listen. Thank you so much for turning up today. I'm not going to stay on this regular soapbox because this is these guys' thing. You know, I've got my own arguments in sport that we're working hard on. And we are seem to make some good headway. I've just had some very good news tonight, I can't tell you, but tomorrow, watch out for that. And I'm going to hand you back to the microphone. And I've got to go off, sadly. It was very much a quick nip in, but I didn't want to miss this opportunity to say that I am a proud Bath person. And, you know, I would be very sad to see the demise of the city. And I think that's what will happen if we let this go on unabated. So thank you very much.
Next, I'd like to introduce Norma Barrett and Fatia Wilkins. These guys live in Southlands in Weston, and they have the misfortune of being very close to some barricades.
Sweet of you to applaud when I'm actually nobody. I'm just a resident. I live in Southlands. Southlands is an estate just behind the hospital, probably around 300 homes. We have been subject to planters being placed in the middle of the road. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six planters, three sets of planters being put in the road. The council had a consultation or several series and meetings where some people knew about it and attended. They also had an online consultation survey that people could respond to. This well-publicised survey that the council had on the council website, 99 people responded. There's over 300 homes, households in Southlands. 99 people responded. I'm sure you're amazed about that. But the real issue is of that 99 people that responded, only 28 actually lived in Southlands. It gets better. Of the 28 people from Southlands that actually responded, 11 voted in favour and 12 voted against and 5 that weren't sure. So guess what? The ones that weren't sure and the ones that voted in favour were seen as the majority, and the scheme went ahead. Now, that's not democracy.